Please turn your Bibles to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 this morning, Luke chapter 2. Mr. Rawlings, it's always great to see you. I have to add mine in, and Tim as well. I have a hard time thinking about Tim without thinking about my dad. I have a hard time because Tim and I were here, we talked this summertime, and man, just talking about Dad, and man, I so appreciate y'all. And Dad would always say, Tim's the one guy, one of the guys, there's a few, but the one guy that if you called him in the middle of the night, he's going to get in the car and he'll be there to help you out. And that's Tim. And man, I'm so thankful for he and his dad both. And Mr. Rawlings, man, we love y'all. Man, so glad to see y'all this morning. Luke chapter 2, we'll read verse 16. And it says this, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord, and we'd have to start, Lord God, with you coming here to earth, Lord God, and living a life and shedding your perfect blood, Lord God, that we might be saved. And Lord, I can't think of a greater gift, Lord, there is no greater gift on this earth, Lord God, than the Son of God, the Son of God, the only Son of God to come and come and live here among men, Lord. It doesn't take long for us, if we spend any time on our knees at all, to figure out how vile and wicked we are, how worthless of a man we are, Lord God, but that through your perfect blood we can be saved. Lord, nothing that we've done. Lord, there's no one good. No one is good. Only Jesus Christ. And you came here, Lord God, and you gave your life for us. And Lord, it all started right here in a manger in Luke chapter 2, Lord God. And we understand, Lord, it started before the beginning of time, foreordained, all of those things. But Lord God, your incarnation, Lord, here started right here. God, we thank you for this Christmas season, Lord. And we better, Lord God, spend a lot of time thanking you for coming here. For coming here to shed your blood. Lord God, we're so undeserving, as James said earlier. God, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, we look forward to this time in being in church and dedicating time to worship you. You're worthy. You are worthy. Lord God, this morning, give us some from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. Amen. Thanks so much for the music this morning. I appreciate all those that take care of that for us. The choir always does a great job. Thank you for that. And the Knight family, man, always great to hear them sing again. And then Jeremiah on the offertory. So great job this morning on music. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 16 is what we read there. Let me just take a minute. We're not going to stay here, but let me just take a minute and read that once again for you. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. You know, as the shepherds come, and this is not today's message, right? We'll get to that in a minute. The Bible says there in verse 16, they found Jesus. You know, this morning, if you have not found Jesus, and you need to make sure you take care of that this morning, make sure you know for sure that you're on the way to heaven through Jesus Christ, and the shepherds and all those that are in the Christmas story, they had the opportunity to come, and they sought after, and they found Christ. And that's not the message this morning, but that's what it tells there in verse number 16. But I want to talk about this morning. We'll talk about Joseph and Mary and how they got there to verse number 16. And we talked for the last couple weeks about John the Baptist. And before we ever have the birth of Jesus, we have the birth of John the Baptist. And we have Elizabeth and Zacharias, his parents, and how God used them, right? And God brought about that miracle that came through Zacharias, Elizabeth. God told through the angel Gabriel Zacharias what was going to happen. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. In fact, I heard him preach this week, and I thought it was pretty funny what he said. He said, Zacharias, remember what happened. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Because he didn't believe, God took his speech from him, right? He couldn't speak. And what happened when the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias and told him what was going to happen, then Zacharias said, well, I want a sign. I thought this was humorous. Preacher said, an angel just appeared to you out of nowhere and you're asking for a sign, right? I mean, maybe the angel coming, maybe that was a sign, right? That something special is going to happen here. But Zacharias and Elizabeth, God gives them John the Baptist and that forerunner of Christ, the one that's going to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And so we have that before we ever get to the birth of Christ. We have, God has all that planned out, right? God had that in place. And so, but I want to look this morning at Joseph and Mary. We're talking about Joseph and Mary. And you know, if you go, we won't go there this morning. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, it gives us the lineage of Joseph. The lineage of Joseph. And it tells us Joseph, where he came from. You know, let's go there. Let's look at it. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We got a little extra time this morning. Matthew chapter 1. And the lineage of Joseph, all the way from, it takes us in Matthew chapter 1, it starts with Abraham in verse number 2 and goes all the way to verse number 16, where it talks about Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now, notice in the Bible's very, because the Bible's always true and accurate, so it's very careful in all the scripture not to call Joseph the father of Jesus. Joseph was not his physical father, he was his legal guardian, and we see here in this passage that it goes through this genealogy of Joseph. If you'll notice, look at verse number 6 of chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah, and Solomon begat Rehoboam, and it goes through the line of kings. And so here in Matthew chapter 1, we have Joseph's line, which is the legal line, not by birth, because Joseph, of course, would not be the father of Jesus. But legally, this is the line of Christ, and it goes all the way back to Abraham. But it goes through David, and it goes through David's son Solomon. And that is the royal line, the kingly line. And those listed after David are the different kings of Israel over the next several generations. It ends up there with Joseph. So Joseph, before we ever get to the rest of Matthew 1 or we get to Luke 1, Joseph fits the criteria in his genealogy and where he came from. And then go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 gives us the genealogy of Mary as best we know here in Luke chapter 3. And it starts in verse number 23 and sort of goes backwards as the other in Matthew 1 went forward. This goes backwards. But if you notice the difference here, there's a lot of differences in the names, and we get to verse number, let's go to verse number 31 of Luke chapter 3, which was the son of Melaiah, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Mattatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. And so again, it goes through the line of David, but it goes through Nathan instead of Solomon. And so Nathan, another son of David, so still goes through the line of David, but this is not the kingly line, right? This is the physical line of Christ, really, because this is through Mary, who would be the mother of Christ. It goes all the way back at the end of Luke chapter 3, all the way back to Adam, and really goes all the way back to God, right? Because Adam came from God. God created Adam. God created Adam. And so it starts with God, and then God created man, and then it goes all the way until we get here to Luke chapter 3, and Jesus Christ, a descendant, all the way back to Adam. So Mary and Joseph individually fit the criteria needed for the physical line of Christ through Mary, and then also the legal line of Christ through Joseph, where he came through David in both cases, but one as a king and the other through David's son Nathan. So go back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to start this morning. Luke chapter 1. I want to talk about Mary and Joseph. And as we see what God did in Elizabeth and Zacharias' life to bring about the birth of a miraculous birth of John the Baptist, we see here in Luke chapter 1, and we'll read this passage and then talk about it for a couple minutes in verse number 26. And so this is 6 months after God has appeared to Zacharias. Elizabeth is now 6 months with child in verse number 26. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So we have here the meeting of Gabriel and Mary. Gabriel just 6 months earlier met with Zacharias. Now he's meeting with Mary, carrying a message to Mary. And so as Gabriel and Mary meet here, and Mary, you picture her as a young lady, we don't know her age, but a young lady who's ready to be married. Thinks that she has everything sort of planned out. All of a sudden, everything changes with what she was planning on doing. But we see a couple things about her. So this is Mary by herself. Joseph's not around. Mary's here by herself. The angel of Gabriel appears under her. And a couple things I want you to notice about Mary first is this, that Mary was thoughtful. What is the word thoughtful? We think about it as thinking of others. But Mary thought. She thought. Look at verse number 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, notice Mary doesn't speak here. She'll speak in a minute. She doesn't say anything. She just begins to think about what God told her. You know what? As Christians, it's good for us to think about what the Word of God says. We need to, the Bible tells us to meditate on the Word of God, to think about what God said. Mary here, she doesn't do anything. But she thinks on what God is telling her. In fact, you'll see this throughout. Now, this text here, look, go to chapter 2. Most of you know this verse, chapter 2, verse number 17. Talking about the shepherds, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, what they had heard about Jesus, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So look at Mary, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I mean, she thought about those things that God had done. Go to verse 51 of Luke chapter 2. Once Jesus speaks to them in verse 49 as a 12-year-old and says, I must be about my Father's business. Verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto him. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Mary was very thoughtful. She thought about what God had said. And she dwells on that and meditates on that as a young lady. She's thinking about what's happening here. And there's a lot for her to think about, right? A lot that's given to her in a short period of time that she has to think about. And she thinks on those things that God is doing in her life. So first of all, she's thoughtful. Then back to Luke chapter 1, look at verse number 38. Not only is she thoughtful, verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. We see that Mary's also humble. She's humble before God. She doesn't dwell on what the things that, man, God's, that I'm doing this. No, she talks about God and she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Look at verse number 48 of Luke chapter 1. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. You know where the glory goes? The glory goes to God, because she understands what she is. She says that God has regarded the lowest state of his handmaid. This morning, if we're going to allow God to use us as Mary did, then we have to think about what God has said and then dwell on the Word of God, and there needs to be a humble spirit. And Mary had a humble spirit before God. She's thoughtful, she's humble. And then look at verse number 38. of Luke 1. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according unto thy word. Not only was she thoughtful and humble, she was also faithful. She said, according unto thy word. She was faithful in following the word of God. In fact, verse 39, it says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Who had told her about Elizabeth? The angel Gabriel just told her about that. So as soon as Gabriel talks to her about, she gets up and she goes with haste and follows the guidance of the word of God. And she's faithful in following what God said. The Bible tells us she stays there 3 months. Obviously, she got there when Elizabeth is 6 months along, and she stays for 3 months, and then more likely she's there at the birth of John the Baptist and then heads back home. So we have Gabriel as Mary talks to Gabriel, hears from Gabriel. She thinks about what Gabriel said. She humbles herself. She's faithful. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now, the Bible doesn't give us specifics here. But as we try to read the Word of God and understand that, we see that Mary, as soon as God tells her through Gabriel, that she's going to have a child. Now, obviously, she's not expecting yet. If you assume right at that moment, probably when Gabriel told her is when that begins, that 9-month process begins, that she has a child through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so immediately she gets up and she goes to Elizabeth and spends 3 months there. So as she's there at Elizabeth's house, as you mentioned, Elizabeth would have John the Baptist. Mary would head back home at 3 months, right? So she's still got 6 months left. Now, we're not told the time frame here as we get to Matthew chapter 1, but now let's look at Joseph. So we have Mary in Luke chapter 1. Now we have Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took in him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So now we have Joseph. The Bible tells us there in verse 18, as his mother Mary's espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's no recording of a conversation between Joseph and Mary. I don't know how this went about, but it doesn't tell us. But as we try to piece this story together, it would seem like this. As Mary comes back from being with Elizabeth, she's now 3 months expecting. She's beginning to show. And so what happens? Joseph hears, right? Joseph hears. We don't know if a conversation took place between Mary and Joseph. We know Mary knows what's going on. She's now 3 months along. And somehow it says there in verse number 18, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So I don't know if Joseph, whoever, somebody told Joseph, about to tell us how Joseph found out. But we know that Joseph finds out that Mary's expecting. And so Joseph is also greeted by an angel. Now, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us in Matthew chapter 1 if this is Gabriel. It could have been. It says the angel of the Lord back in Luke chapter 1. It says the angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias, and then later on in the conversation, he revealed himself as Gabriel. Obviously, with Mary, it tells us it was Gabriel. We don't know for sure. We assume that maybe it was Gabriel here with Joseph. Either way, we know it was an angel of God. An angel of God appears to Joseph as Joseph is there by himself, as best we know. He's not with Mary at this time. Then an angel appears unto Joseph. And what do we have about Joseph? Number one, we have this. Joseph was thoughtful, right? Look at verse 20. But while he thought on these things, you know, Joseph doesn't make a rash decision. He begins to think on what's going on. He wants to make sure he makes the right decision. She's found with child. The Bible tells us in verse number 19, he's minded to put her away privily or privately. He doesn't want to. Isn't this great? He doesn't want to make her a public example. You know what our spirit should be? We should want to be a help to those. He doesn't know the situation as best he knows, right? He hasn't heard anything different. Then he figures that Mary's committed immorality somewhere along, but he doesn't want to make her a public example. We're not talking about covering sin. What we're all talking about is this, that it shouldn't be our desire to bring other people's faults to light, right? We should pray for them and try to be a help to them. And Joseph here wants to, he just wants to do the right thing. He wants to do the right thing. And so he thinks on these things and doesn't want to make her a public example. He loves her. And so, first of all, Joseph's thoughtful. Secondly, Joseph's humble. What does he say? He doesn't want to make her a public example. He wants to do it privately. He doesn't want to cause shame to come upon her. As that happens, as he does that privately, what's going to happen? Probably he's going to have some things that would come on him, with some accusations that would come against him, and yet he still doesn't want to make her a public example. And we also see this, that Joseph was faithful. Look at verse number 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. This could not have been an easy decision for Joseph, as we mentioned. Those accusations that were coming against Mary would also come against Joseph. And those that would degrade Mary and try to do everything they could to humiliate her would also be going after Joseph as well. And yet the Bible shows there was no hesitation in Joseph. As soon as he heard the word of God, Joseph got up, he woke up, and he did exactly what God said to do. He followed the word of God. He was faithful in following God's word. Joseph did what the angel said in verse number 25. He called his name Jesus. That's what God had said to do. And so Joseph did, took unto him Mary his wife, and called the baby's name Jesus. And let me give you some observations as we close here. Just a few observations on Joseph and Mary. You know, it wasn't an accident that Joseph and Mary were chosen by God to be the ones to rear Jesus. Can you imagine God in heaven looking down on earth to find who's going to be the ones? And we talked about Zacharias and Elizabeth and their spiritual level as they rear John the Baptist, that forerunner of Christ. You'd have to have just the right people in place, the parents. You that are parents this morning, wouldn't it be great to be the parent of a perfect child? You say, well, I already am, right? I already am, some of you. I didn't see any hands out there, right? But the parent of a perfect child. But you start to think about it, boy, that's a pretty daunting task, isn't it? Because that means that child's never going to make a mistake. And that means that we as parents, right, once in a while, do make mistakes. And so you know that everything you do in your home, the Son of God is watching you. And let me tell you something, parents, this morning. Everything you do in your home, the Son of God is watching. He is. Now, they had him physically there. But boy, that doesn't... The more you think about it, the more you're like, you know, I'll take the children that are a little bit imperfect like I am, right? But boy, they had that responsibility. And as God's looking at who he's going to give that to, he chooses Joseph and Mary. Yes, they could meet the criteria when it came to the line of Christ and where they had descended from. But I'm going to give you a couple observations for all of us, for our young people, for all of us, as we think about Joseph and Mary's young people, some things that for our young people, for our older ones too, for our young people to understand about this. Here's the first one. Here's some observations. Number one, before God chose Mary and Joseph, now we understand God knows what's coming. We know before, as Brother Jason mentioned earlier, before even time began, God had a plan in place. I'm not talking about that. But before we have recorded that God spoke to Mary and Joseph, before God chose Mary and Joseph, Mary and Joseph chose each other. Think about that. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, Luke chapter 1, verse 27, they were already engaged. What if Joseph and Mary had decided, hey, I'm going to follow my own plan instead of God's plan, and married somebody outside of the will of God? Before they ever chose, before God ever revealed his choice of them, Mary and Joseph chose each other. That means independently, they made some spiritual decisions that, hey, I'm going to find exactly the one God would have for me. By the way, it's not an accident that Jesus had to be born of a virgin. So they decided to keep themselves pure as young people and said, I'm going to do what's right according to the word of God so that God can use me. And God did. You know, there's independent decisions. Before God ever chose Mary and Joseph chose each other. Then secondly, go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Number one, before God chose Mary and Joseph, or at least before he revealed that choice, Mary and Joseph chose each other. You say, well, God knew it was going to be Mary and Joseph. Well, he did. But I'm telling you this, if Joseph and Mary don't follow God with their lives, then God can't use them like he wants to. And let me tell you this morning, you don't decide to follow God with your life. God can't use you in the way he wants to. It doesn't mean he can't use you. He can. You can get forgiven of sin. You can get those things right that you do that are wrong. But God has something he wants for you to do. He had something here for Mary and Joseph. And it's interesting that they wanted and had chosen each other before it was ever revealed to them what God was going to do in their lives. And then second observation, Mary and Joseph trusted God's word separately over what they knew. That isn't it interesting here? I mean, Mary knows. And she, because she asked, she says, well, how can this be? Saying, no, not a man. If we're not married, how in the world can I have a child? How's that going to happen? Because she has to trust God's word. And God says, hey, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. It's never happened before. And she had to trust God's word over what she knew. You know, Joseph, the angel, appeared to him separately and said, Mary's going to have a child that's been conceived by the Holy Ghost. Joseph had to believe that separately. He wasn't with Mary when that happened. He had to believe the word of God as God gave it to him. When it didn't make sense, when it wasn't logical, when it didn't line up with what everybody else was thinking, then Mary and Joseph trusted God's word separately. Luke chapter 1, verse 45. As she's there with Elizabeth, what does Elizabeth tell Mary? She says, and blessed is she that believed. Hey, Mary, you're blessed because you believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Elizabeth confirms what God has already said and says that what God has told you is going to happen is going to happen in your life. God's doing it to me right now in the birth of John the Baptist that was coming up very soon. God's given me a miracle. He's going to give you the same thing. And so we see Joseph and Mary separately believing the word of God. Let me tell you this for our young people, and let me tell you this for all of them. It's up to you. I'm talking about you individually. What you're going to do with God and his word. No matter what your spouse does, no matter what your child does, no matter what your parent does. Let me tell you, it's between. You know who we're going to answer for one day? I'm going to answer for me. That's what I'm going to answer for. And Joseph and Mary separately. We don't have anything that shows us they got together on this. Hey, you going to do this? What do you think about what he said? No. Joseph heard from God. He said, hey, I'm going to do what's right. Mary heard from God. She said, I'm going to do what's right. I accept what God's doing in my life. I'm going to follow God's will for my life. It doesn't matter who else is doing it. I'm going to do it. Isn't it great? You go back to the story of Boaz and Ruth in the book of Ruth. Boaz and Ruth made spiritual decisions for God before they ever met each other. And God was able to use them together. God's going to use Joseph and Mary together. But let me tell you something. There has to be some spiritual decisions they make on their own. Hey, this morning, it's not about your wife. It's about you. It's not about your husband. It's about you. It's not about your parents. It's about you. Children, you decide, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It's not about, hey, well, my parents are doing this. No, you decide I'm going to do what's right. And it's up to us, and Joseph and Mary make decisions for God themselves. I'm telling you, you've got to be able to stand by yourself. Now listen, you thank God for the wife or the husband you have as they all work together and stand together and serve God together. That's great. And God, let me tell you something, there's some things you're going to have to do on your own. Hey, decide for yourself. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what God said. And Joseph and Mary, now isn't it great when Joseph decides to do what God said and Mary decides to do what God said and they come together and God can use both of them together, right? And that's the ideal. That's what we want. And that's what God wanted in this case. Before God chose Mary and Joseph, they chose each other. They made a right spiritual decision in the one they were going to marry. Mary and Joseph trusted God's word separately. And then third observation, Mary and Joseph accepted God's plan, and we touched on this a little bit already, for their lives separately. What does Mary say? I love that statement she gives us in verse number 38 of chapter 1. be it unto me according to thy word. You know what she's saying? I accept your plan for my life.
Hey, this morning, accept God's plan for your life. You say, but this has happened, and this has happened, and this has happened. No, you know what you need to do this morning? Accept God's plan for your life right now. Let me tell you this, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, then you need to accept what Jesus Christ has already done for you. His plan for you is to spend eternity with Him, and so you need to trust Him as your Savior. But if you're saved this morning, trust God's plan and accept God's plan for your life. And I'm not saying accept, well, this has happened because of this sin, or this happened because I made this wrong. No, I'm not saying accept. I'm saying accept God's plan for your life right now. What did Joseph do? As soon as he woke up from the dream, he took Mary for his wife. Why? That's what God said to do. That's what God's plan was for him. And you have Joseph and Mary separately accepting God's plan for them. And so go back to Luke chapter 2. Verse number 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they came with haste, verse 16, and found who? Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now, no way do we want to take any attention away from the babe lying in the manger, because that's Jesus Christ, right? But if Jesus is laying there in the manger, who's there with him? You've got Mary and Joseph. Why? Because they made decisions to do what God said to do. And so God gave them responsibility. He said, here's my son. Here's my son. I'm entrusting him to you. God's got something he wants you to do. He's got something this morning he wants you to do. You may not see an angel like Joseph did. You may see an angel like Mary did. But I tell you what you do have this morning. We do have the Word of God.
You do have God's Word that tells us how we're supposed to live, how you're supposed to live. Hey, decide this morning, I'm going to do this.
I'm going to follow what God's Word says, independent of everybody else. Now, I hope everybody else does it too. And I hope they jump in and do it as well. But I'm going to decide this morning whether this person does it or that person does it or this family member does it. I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to accept God's will for my life. I'm going to trust God's Word.
And I'm going to choose to do what's right with my life today. Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. God gave Jesus, his son, to Mary and Joseph. Why? Because they decided we're going to do what God said. Father, I pray that you help us this morning to learn from the Scriptures, Lord. That's why you give them to us. And Lord, I pray that you help us as we seek your will and try to live a life that will be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that we'd see, as we talked about this morning, the decisions made by Mary and Joseph. Lord, as things came into their life that were not easily explained, Lord, things that came in their life that they weren't necessarily prepared for, they didn't know it was coming. And yet we see in both of their lives individually some choices that were made. Lord, we're not told. We don't know. Lord, the spiritual condition of their parents, we assume it was good and they've been trained and taught and those things that were right, but we don't know. We don't know what influences they had around them as they grew up. Lord, we're not told about those things in their childhood and their younger years. But what we do know is this, Lord, as you spoke to them, they responded. They responded to the leading of God in their hearts and their lives. Lord, and they did that individually. They didn't wait on someone else or talk about it, discuss it for a little while and see what they really want to do. No, Lord, they each individually said, I trust you. I'm going to follow the Word of God. I pray, first of all, this morning, Lord, there's someone here not saved. Help them to realize their need for a Savior. Lord, that's why you sent your Son. It wasn't just to come here to earth. You sent him as a Savior to save us from our sins. And so I pray for anyone here that doesn't know for sure they're saved. Lord, I pray for those this morning that know they're on their way to heaven. Lord, you're dealing with their heart this morning about some spiritual decisions they need to make. And Lord, maybe some sin in their life they need to get rid of. Maybe some things that they haven't been doing and serving you like they should, and they've gotten a little lackadaisical in a certain area, or maybe just across the board, and help this morning, just in, Lord, to speak to them through the Word of God. Lord, help not to look around at somebody else, but say this morning, I'm going to decide to do God's will. I'm going to do it. I'm going to decide to follow God's Word, and maybe it doesn't make sense or match up with my plans, but I want to do what God had me to do. And Lord, touch hearts this morning in Jesus' name. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around, let me ask you this morning, do you know for sure you're saved? Do you know for sure on your way to heaven this morning? Not as much a salvation message, but tell you the salvation story, the gospel story. That's what Christmas is all about. So God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. You hear this morning, you say this, say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. If I was to die today, not because I'm good enough, no, because there was a time when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, where I got on my knees before God and prayed and asked Him to come into my heart. I know for sure I'm saved. If you can say this morning, just slip your hand up like I'm going to say, I know I'm saved. You put your hand right back down. Thank you. You hear this morning, you say this, you say, I don't know for sure. Maybe have some doubts, or maybe just never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not really sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Listen, God doesn't want you to doubt. He wants you to know. He wants you to know. That's why He sent that baby in the manger. If you're here this morning, you say, I'm not sure about my salvation. I don't want to embarrass you at all. I promise you that. But I want you to be honest before God. If you do this for me, just slip your hand up. Say, pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. Not sure if I go to heaven. If you're saved this morning, are you following God's Word? And I don't know, we didn't go into a lot of details this morning. God maybe put something on your heart, but is there something, some decisions in your life that God's been dealing with you about, or you know that need to be made? Hey, this morning, I don't want you to think about this person. I want to think about yourself this morning. You. What's God dealing with in your heart? Hey, what's He speaking to you about? Are you willing to do what God would have you do? What a great testimony, Mary and Joseph. As soon as they heard from God, they got up and did exactly what God said. As the music plays this morning, God's dealing with you. You come forward as the Lord spoke to you. Amen. Good. Let me mention this. I forgot to mention it earlier, but thanks. I know who you are, but those who got all the Christmas decorations up here, man, look great. And thank you for doing that tonight. Children's Christmas program. So be here for that. 5:30. Is that right? 5:30. Children upstairs will meet over here. Since we don't know what the weather's exactly going to be like, all right, but meet upstairs. And also, if I could get a few strong, able-bodied men. We've got so many, all right, to choose from. But just when we get done here in a few minutes, if you help, we need to get some of this furniture moved out for tonight, all right? So if you can help out with that, that'd be great to be back in tonight, 6 o'clock for the service. And, man, Brother Tim, I can't have you in here without getting you to pray, so why don't you do this? Man, great to see you all again. Why don't you close in prayer from there, if you would, please.